so that you will dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
There always seem to be evident flows in church attendance through the year, aren't there? Summer is always a bit slower than fall or winter. The Sunday after Christmas Eve tends to be much slower than those previous Sundays in December. The Sunday after Easter is often met with a similar level of involvement. And this Sunday, AGM Sunday, our annual general meeting, is also something where we see a curious change with involvement. I've often wondered why this is the case, but it certainly seems to be the case on Sundays in every church that I've ever talked to clergy about. It's met with a challenge of congregational involvement. Now, I'm a curious kind of person, and I often ponder what the solution is to this growing trend. Some ministers joke and say the solution is to bolt the doors. Bolt the doors and not allow people to leave until after worship and after the meeting concludes. Others that I know, they dangle a carrot of a Shrove Tuesday pancake supper or a sumptuous lunch after the meeting's conclusion to encourage people's involvement. Yet I'm not really sure if these solutions touch the heart of the problem. I think the heart of the challenge before us is what I'd like to call the three temptations of the church. This morning's text that Kathleen just read for us invites us into this familiar world of temptation, Jesus' three temptations. And yes, I just said familiar. Familiar because I believe that dealing with these three forms of temptation are as human for us as breathing or complaining about our Vancouver Canucks. In the scripture story, having fasted for a full 40 days, the tempter challenges Jesus with these three temptations. The temptation, firstly, to attempt the miraculous. Then the temptation for a grand spectacle. And finally, the temptation to gain full political power. Let's take a look at them one by one. Firstly, the temptation for the miraculous. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become loaves of bread. The first temptation is about seeking a theology that gives us the rewards without all the work. It promises us the kingdom without acknowledging the cross that comes before its attainment. It's about denying the pains, the inevitable pains of Good Friday that we each must experience in our own way in order to arrive at Easter's resurrection. It's about our love, about all of our love for quick fixes and easy solutions and miracles without doing the hard work of ministry and love and care. Do you ever encounter this temptation in your own life? Do you ever yearn for an easier way? I know I do. It's very real for each and every one of us. The second temptation follows from the first. It's about this temptation to seek a grand spectacle. That's what we go after. Taking Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the tempter says, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it's written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against even a stone.'" Seeking spectacle is about looking for the miracle workers that we have around us today. Those ones that we idolize, those ones that we worship. The celebrities, the experts, the icons of our day. Those ones who our world has created and we are drawn to follow. It's that temptation to place the work of ministry that is ours to do, in the hands of others, in the hands of the expert. Our world lately, I wonder if you agree, seems more concerned with the plight of Harry and Meghan, or Justin Bieber's latest escapade, or Jennifer Lopez's newest workout, or Taylor Swift's latest release, than we are with the neighbor next door, or the person in need outside our grocery store. Who is important to you and who is not in this world that idolizes the expert? Do we fast? Do we hold fast to Jesus' teaching that the last will be the first? This is another challenging temptation for us. Do you ever encounter this kind of pull, this temptation in your life? I know I do. The third temptation continues this theme through as we're tempted to acquire power, political power, sheer control over others. Taking Jesus up the highest mountain, the tempter shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, saying, "All these I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me." So much of world history has been written with this quest for power over others. The tendency in this temptation is to view the other from the perspective of the benefit they offer to us. What benefit does that person offer to me, to my cause? We think of how they can help us rather than how we might offer care and service to them or with them. Do you ever encounter this temptation in your life? I know I do. And to each of these challenges, Jesus, one after another, denies the tempter. Perhaps he's drawing on his divine rather than human part. But in his hunger, he stays the course and denies each temptation faithfully. But make no mistake, those temptations are there for him. They are there in this passage, and they will continue throughout all of Jesus' life, throughout all of his ministry, all the way until the time of his death. Those temptations will be there. There will be moments of doubt. There will be moments of frustration with his disciples, and he will be tempted. There will even be moments of doubt and temptation at Gethsemane, at the cross, as he hangs there. And these temptations are part, friends, of our existence as well. If we are, as Paul puts it in his letters to the early church, if we are members of Christ's body, if we are alive in the church today, it's important for us to acknowledge these temptations and doubts that we inevitably have as well. Just as Jesus did, we also have three temptations, the three temptations of the church. The text occurs at the end of Jesus' 40-day fast. To say that the church is hungry and famished as well is certainly these days an understatement. Being the church today is a huge challenge. Being the church has never, I don't think, at any point in history been this difficult to continue. We can recall times when Sunday school were full to overflowing, when Sunday was a day reserved for worship and family, long before Sunday shopping and such, when we were building new churches every year in the community. Today, like Jesus in this morning's text, we are hungry. Hungry from a time of fasting, where churches are closing, and the ones that are still open are struggling to continue exercising a faithful ministry. Right here at Northwood, we have gone from 2 full-time ministers to 1.5 and now to 1. Many churches today operate by sharing a minister between two or three pastoral charges. And now in other cases, they are led entirely by lay leadership. We are in a fasting time. We are very hungry from the journey. And the temptations for us as a church, I suspect, are the same ones that parallel Jesus' story in Matthew 4. As Jesus' living body here in 2020, we are subjected to these same temptations. The temptations of seeking the miraculous, the temptation of seeking spectacle, and the temptation of seeking power. Our challenge of being the church today is at an all-time high. And the temptation is to not fully engage, to not fully engage in the deep work of being the church, and it is so very seductive. Who among us is not tempted to give our work over to an expert, someone to do it all for us? How tempting is it to get caught up in lamenting back to a time of Christendom, when the Lord's Prayer was taught in the schools and families came in droves on Sunday morning to church? How tempting is it to acknowledge the present realities as we consider our timeless call to be the living body of Christ? And that's where you come in now. This is where you enter the conversation, the brave few of us today that make up the church, that make up Northwood's family. The braver few that have even come to wrestle and struggle with this reality, with the temptations that might take us away, and the faith that guides us in being the church into this new year and beyond. And so the second half of our reflection will be led by you this morning. As we continue a little later in the service with groups considering the temptations and struggles and the blessings and all of those of being the church as we engage and review our goals of being the church. Now, the goals that we're going to talk about very, very shortly, all the way were set back 4 years ago, 2016, part of the process that you engaged in searching for a new minister. And that timeline given at the time were five-year goals, so they're just coming to the end. We're going to be talking about the conclusion of these goals. How are we doing? Where do we need to change? How shall we shape our ministry for the next 5 years? And all the time acknowledging that we're hungry, that we're tempted, but the call to be the living, faithful body of Christ yet continues. And so may we acknowledge the hunger and the fasting that we have been doing as a church. May we acknowledge the temptations that are present, and may we rise to the call to be Jesus' faithful body here in God's beautiful world. Thanks be to God. Amen.